أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To our dearest listeners, welcome to the Deep Discussions podcast Revert Reflections interview. I'm your host, Kalisha Bennett, and it's lovely to be back with you for another episode. Powered by Developing Diamonds, the Deep Discussions podcast aims to encourage our listeners to unplug from the shallowness of surface conversations and online interactions and reconnect with their Lord, themselves, and others through discussion and reflection about the deeper things in life. I hope you've had a chance to hear our previous episode with Sister Rashika Matthews. You can find past episodes of the Deep Discussions podcast on all the major podcast platforms. Be sure to subscribe and be the first to know when a new episode is released, inshallah. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram using the handle at Deep Discussions Podcast. And we would like to note that personal and Islamic views and opinions expressed by our guests are their own and not a representation of Developing Diamonds. So today I have our wonderful guest, Sister Zaina Della Porta. I know her as Shu'aib, lovingly know her as Shu'aib, mashallah. She's a revert to Islam. She's a mother of one beautiful young man, and she's an ICF coach and mentor. So she's a certified coach. She's also the director of the 3D Coaching Academy. On Instagram, she's known as Coach Zaina. And she's a tazkiyah coach and mentor who helps Muslim women who have a restless heart find sakina with the remembrance of Allah. So I'd like to welcome my dear sister, Zaina Della Porta. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for inviting me, Kalisha.
Wa iyakum, you're most welcome. It's beautiful to have you. And thank you for giving us your time and your wisdoms and life experiences.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So we'll get straight into it. We'd love for our listeners to just hear a little bit about you. What is your background? Where are you based? How long have you been Muslim for? What do you do? A little bit about you.
Okay, sure. So I'm based in Montreal, Canada. I converted or reverted, depends how you like to say it, to Islam, I would say over 18 years ago. I have a son who's just 16. He'll be 17 shortly. Married, and I work, like you said, as a co-director at the 3D Coaching Academy. I facilitate there. I'm working also as a coach in my personal business. And I also love being involved with our youth here as in halakas and mentoring. What else can I tell you about me? I love to read. I love to learn. I love to reflect. I love the nature, and I love going on bike rides, which I just came back from one, as we were just discussing.
Yes. Mashallah. Amazing. What is something that's an interesting fact about you?
Interesting fact. The fact is that I have this dream that one day I'll be opening up a bakery / cafe where I'll have a little coaching corner.
I remember hearing that dream.
Yes. Academy was the first dream, and this is next on the list, inshallah.
Yeah. Inshallah. Mashallah. So I've known you for probably two years now or so. We've had some adventures together, and I first got to know you as a coaching mentor, and I did a program with you, and then we embarked on this amazing adventure in creating enlightened hearts. And alhamdulillah, it didn't turn out, but it was this beautiful journey nonetheless, and we got to spend a lot of online time together, you know, and having some beautiful deep conversations and dreams and ideas. So I remember vividly your description of the bakery. Yes. I can smell the pastries. Wallahi, I can smell the pastries.
And the coffee.
The coffee, the power of the imagination too. You know? Keep the dream alive. May Allah allow it to come into fruition.
Amen.
Sister Zaina, because this is the Revert Reflections episode of the Deep Discussions podcast, we want to know about your journey into Islam. And would you tell us a little bit about that journey 18 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's probably closer to 19 now that I'm actually reflecting back on that. I think it was, I'll tell it as it is in my mind, in my reflective way. It was kind of like an answer to a dua. I had been in like a very difficult space, I'd say a few years before I found Islam. And I think about a few months just before this dua, my father was dying and he had liver cancer and he was very, very ill. And I was taking care of him at the very end. And I always used to, you know, call out to God and talk to God and ask God when I needed something. So that was good. Alhamdulillah, for I was brought up Catholic. So for me, God was God at that point. Like I wasn't really practicing Catholicism or anything like that. I was actually in a very, very lost place before this, before my father passed away. And at the time then when my father was passing on, I had this inclination at that moment that I wanted to know that my dad loved me. So I made this dua. I literally went into a coma, and I literally just had this urge just to know from him before he passed on. We knew he was going to pass on. He was in the final stages. He wasn't supposed to wake up again. And I just had this longing to know for some reason that he loved me. So I went into the other room, I was crying and I was talking to God, and I made this dua and I asked God. So this is where my reconnection came back to God at this point, like kind of talking to God. And I asked God, I just want to know that my dad loves me. And I cried a bit. Then I went back, put myself together, went back in the room where he was laying in the hospital bed in his coma. He literally, literally, when I walked in the room, turned towards me, opened his eyes, and he said, I love you. And then he went back into his coma. Subhanallah. And I was, at that moment, it was just so instant that it impacted me. And then, you know, we went through the funeral and everything happened. And a few months later, I was starting to really find myself lost. And again, I called out and I, you know, called out to Allah, to God, as I spoke to God in that time. And I remember vividly, I was in the car. It was like late at night. I was just driving like aimlessly, not knowing where I was going, literally. And I was crying and I made a dua to God and basically crying out saying, I don't know what my purpose is. I just need to know what is my purpose to even exist anymore in this life. That's kind of where I was. I was like at rock bottom. I had been around people that were really not healthy and not okay. I was like not even feeling like I had a home, a place of my own. I was from here to there. And I was really, really lost. And I even had felt like I didn't know where I was going to go from here. I could not see anything past that moment and a future. So subhanAllah, I didn't know really any Muslim people growing up. And all of a sudden, Muslim people started popping up in my life. Not necessarily at first, like the first people I met were practicing or anything, but just like, okay, this was a Muslim person. And I, oh, wow. Okay. Just met that. And I didn't really know much about Islam either. But at one point I started to meet some more people that were more like practicing and nicer and actually enough to talk and have a conversation and get to know people. And I remember sitting with a few Muslims and we were sitting as a group, and I was friends with this woman and her husband was there, and her husband literally got up, left the conversation. We were having coffee and talking, left the conversation. We were at their place. So they left the conversation, he went into, I guess, the bathroom, and then he went into the bedroom and closed the door for a while. And I'm like, where did he go? Like, that was just so random. Like, just talking. Okay, go to the bathroom, but you went in the other room. I'm like, what is he doing? We're in the middle of a conversation here. And his wife told me, oh, it's because it's the prayer time and he had to go pray. I said, now when we're having a conversation? She's like, yeah, now. Like, there's a certain prayer time. It's like five times a day. And when it's time to pray, you get up and you leave everything to go pray. I was like dumbfounded. I thought that was so interesting. And I didn't know what to make of it yet. I just thought it was so interesting. Then after that, I remember again, someone had lent me a or someone had used my cassette player. In those days, we had cassette players. And they put a cassette in there. There was something in there, and I wasn't feeling well. And I remember I was lying on my bed. I had a migraine, and I just pressed play on this cassette, and I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, what is this? This sounds so beautiful. Like, what is this? Like, I felt really good. I felt like everything. I felt like my migraine went away. I felt just total peace, rest. I felt rested. And I was like, what is this? So I remember questioning, I think at that time, the person that had left it there. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? I'm like, what is this? Is this music? Like, what is this? Like, what is this? I've never heard anything like this before. And it's like they were maybe shy and they couldn't explain it to me, you know, so they just kind of left that. And I had that experience. And then.
So was it Quran?
Yes, it was Quran. You're dying to know, right? It was Quran.
I'm like, I'm assuming it was
Quran. Yes, it was. I didn't know, but I don't think they knew how to explain that to me. Mashallah. I was like, yeah. I was telling them, yeah, but it took away my migraine. I was like so good. I felt so well.
Amazing.
Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. And then the next piece I remember that stuck out to me or stood out to me is I remember, you know, getting curious more about Islam. And in those days, like, didn't have internet at home. Again, it was a long time ago, right?
So is that in the late 90s?
No. We're saying 19 years ago. Maybe I didn't have internet at home.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe everybody else kind of was getting it at that time, but I still had to go to the library to use internet. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like a dinosaur on the internet. So I didn't know it was a zombie, right? So I never like really went on it. So I went to the internet at the library, and because I was curious about what I had seen, just something inspired me to look up what is this Islam thing. And also to kind of at the same moment, I wrote, what is the purpose of living, or what is the purpose of this life? That's what I wrote. And then I put Islam, and then poof, popped up on Google, dear Google. I think it was Google in those days, who knows? It said, the purpose of this life is the hereafter. And I can't tell you, like, I know it sounds just like a simple sentence, but that sentence, that reading that, it's like the biggest light bulb moment, aha, went off in my heart, in my mind. And I saw something that just made so much sense. And I never knew before. Like, I never thought about that before and considered it in that way. And it sounds no more than saying accurately, it really was an aha moment for me, and it impacted me and it shifted me immediately. I saw something with that. And immediately I wanted to know more.
Because the fact that this life is, that there's a life beyond this life. So is that what resonated for you?
That there was a purpose even in this life. I was walking around aimlessly before that. I told you I was like a really lost place. I felt lost. I felt like I was walking around. I didn't even know what the purpose of my existence, not even considering or looking at it for the hereafter or in this life, but what was my purpose? What was I even existing for? And I'm not talking about a purpose of what I should be doing, but why was I even alive kind of purpose.
Can I ask a question about that? What does that feel like, Zaina, to not know and have any clue of what your purpose is? What does that feel like for anyone who has never not known Islam? What is that feeling?
Numb. I felt very numb and disconnected completely from myself and disconnected from my being. And alhamdulillah, I still spoke to God then. Like, I still, like, in like that storm, kind of like on an ocean where the waves are going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's where I felt I was, like,
pulling
I felt
out.
Like I was going under. Yeah. I felt I was going to be pulled under. I called out to Allah. I'm saying Allah now, but in that time it was God. It was basically God. And I called out to God and I said, like, you know, what is my purpose? And then I got this answer within months later. And I remembered that call out, and I remembered how my life shifted even in those months before I got this answer, how all of a sudden I was so lost, and now all of a sudden I started to find my feet, like felt grounded. And then when I saw this answer, I knew it was my answer. I knew it was the answer to what I was seeking and what I was searching. And it shifted everything in my belief system back aligned and at peace, like from everything from, I used to be fearful of death. I used to be everything. It's like, no, there's a purpose, and it's for the, and it taught me so much. So I wasn't any more numb. I was connected again. I was connected back. I felt grounded, connected, and connected to Allah again, and connected to truth, and connected to purpose, and connected to true purpose. So I wanted to know more. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand, what does being a Muslim mean? What does that look like? So I was on my journey of exploration. And where best to start than to call an imam, right? So called local mosque. Spoke to an imam, and he said to me, do you want to be Muslim? I said, I do. Like, instantly, I knew I did. He said, we just have to say the Shahada, and then you're Muslim. So I said my Shahada. There we go. I'm Muslim. And then I'm like, okay, I need to know more. So he instructed me to go somewhere to learn more about Islam. And I did. And it was a funny story. Anyways, there's so many little stories along the way. But as I went into there, they were so warm, welcoming. And they invited me to some halakha that they were having, where I met a few other reverts and I also, or converts, and I met also, you know, there were born Muslims there, and there were also people who were just curious about Islam in that halakha. And also they gave me tons of books. That was like, you know, books are my thing. I love books.
Yeah.
So they gave me tons of books. So here I was reading my books, and oh, when I was reading my books, I was like so in love with what I was reading, and it was so interesting, and it made so much sense. And I kept hearing, you know, very truthful things. And the thing is I didn't have a lot of knowledge at the beginning, but what I do remember is, as, because, you know, I lived a life I wasn't Muslim, and all of a sudden now I'm Muslim, right? And there's a lot of different lifestyle as being a Muslim when you're following Islam, right? But I didn't have that experience of having to, you know, I kind of knew what I knew, and I learned along the way. And I remembered when I would go into an area, like once I got invited, you know, to meet some friends, and they were meeting at a bar. So it was just the beginning. I'm like, well, I don't drink, and I know Muslims don't drink, so that's okay. But when I walked in there, I felt something, and I said, I don't belong here. Wow. And I walked out, and I said to somebody I knew at that time, I said, I'm never going back in here, you know? And I'm like, I just know that this didn't make sense for me. So it's sort of like everything was being taught to me as I was going along and learning about Islam.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, it really amazes me how Allah always put things in my path to guide me to what I needed to learn. So even though, like, I would seek it out, it would be put in front of me somehow along the way, and or in my heart, I would sense something, and I would be like, this doesn't seem like something I want to do as a Muslim. Like, doesn't seem right. I just would get this feeling inside that this was wrong. And the best way I can describe that now with the knowledge I have is aligning back to the fitra and knowing what's right and what's wrong, and having that connection to understanding what is right and what's wrong. Even before I got to learn it all, I sensed it. And even when I didn't, I would hear like, okay, Muslims don't drink. Okay. But it didn't occur to me about the bar thing, because I didn't drink anyways before that. So yeah, it's like, what's the difference, you know?
So even environments which felt misaligned to your fitra of wanting to be in an environment of purity, because the soul is seeking purity.
Exactly. And it would occur to me, and it would pull me away and pull me towards a different direction, and with certainty, with like no doubt, like, I'm leaving that. I'm not interested in that.
سبحان الله
Alhamdulillah.
الحمد لله.
Alhamdulillah.
So what's your ethnic background, Zaina?
So on my father's side, it's Italian. Italian, and then my mom's side, Polish. So I'm mixed.
Nice. And did you have a religious background before you found
Yes.
Islam?
Yes. Well, at the time that I found Islam, I was a believer in God. And I guess I would have, if someone would ask me, what religion are you? I would say Catholic. However, by that, at that point, I wasn't at all going to church. My only relationship with God was my communication with God when I would talk to God. And that's when I would be in that moment of remembering or calling out to God. But growing up, I was brought up Catholic. So being brought up Catholic by a Polish and Italian family, it's really traditional. So it's got all the traditions and the rituals of Catholicism, and which is all kind of melted into family and also like the heritage of the culture with the family. It's all kind of blended in.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, Christmas was something important. Easter was something important because it was all about family at the same time and the
yeah.
traditions that were passed on.
Culture. So it becomes yeah. cultural.
Cultural, but my I would say that my the cultural religious aspect of it too. Like there was like very my mom was very Catholic and she brought us to church and she would you know, do different Catholic rituals that they would do with her, with both my brother and myself. So
yeah.
I knew a lot about the religion actually growing up. So yeah.
So did that faith base not give you that sense of knowing your purpose and knowing your identity
no.
as a human being? You didn't find it?
No, I was, I was like the, my mom would laugh like when I was young, but I was kind of, I would think I would say I was stubborn and I was a little bit strong-minded and I had my own views. So back when I was little, we'd go to church and like, they would sing the Our Father song. And I would be like, who says he's the father? Who says he's a man? I'd be like all in this. And my mom would laugh then because it was kind of funny that
yeah.
I was questioning these things.
That's
but
your fitra. Your fitra.
Yeah,
your challenging.
Yeah. And I used to question things really young. Like, why do I have to tell the priest my sins? Like, that's not like, you know, like, why do I have to tell him all my, you know, my bad deeds, you know, like, I don't want him
yeah.
to know, you know, I would question things. So I also questioned as I got older, like things didn't really make sense. And I remember asking, I would go to the priest and ask questions sometimes more on a deeper level at this point, because I'm kind of getting older there, right? So it's
yeah.
not like questions like of such nature, but more on a deeper level. And I would be given answers like, but you know, this is what we believe. And it wasn't quite clear.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the right word is like answers, comfort, wisdom there. So it didn't attract me as much. And I didn't stay into the religiosity of the Catholicism and the practice of it, other than the traditions that I was doing with my family. I did pray to God all the time though. Like I would talk to God, not prayers, like daily prayers, but
yeah.
talking to God, connecting with God.
Dua.
Yeah.
So basically dua was a normal thing
yeah.
for you, and you were calling out to the one God that you believed in and did have conviction in his existence.
I don't know if I really knew what the difference of one God at that time and the one God that Catholicism teaches. So, but I was calling out to God when I was praying. So I was calling to God, like that's the word I would use. But at that time, it was more like an essence of God, the one who created me.
Yeah.
Rather than understanding the details of that and the oneness of it in that
yeah.
essence of how we know in Tawheed.
Mashallah. When you became a Muslim and you had to announce, or it was gradually revealed to those around you, how did your family and friends, employer or classmates, how did they take it?
Oh, I wasn't in class anymore, so alhamdulillah, that was a different thing. But my employer, okay, well, the employer, I converted, reverted to Islam just before Ramadan. So I was doing my first Ramadan and I just became Muslim. And we weren't quite there yet. I was preparing for it. And the first thing I knew that I didn't want to do when I became Muslim is I didn't want to wear makeup and I didn't want to, like, I wasn't obviously in hijab yet, but I didn't want to wear makeup and I didn't want to wear like certain clothes. I wanted to be more conservative or, you know, I never really, you know, wasn't, but I just wanted to cover up a little bit more anyway, but I didn't want to wear makeup. And I was working in a hair salon as a receptionist. So my boss had a conversation with me one day and he's like, "You are my best employee, but you're working in a hair salon and you need to wear makeup. You need to fix yourself up and beautify yourself. This is part of what we do here." And I said to him, "Well," because I was always a little bit feisty. I was like, "Really?" I said, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I am Muslim now and I don't wear makeup."
Wow. Good
on you. I guess that means I can't work here anymore. Then I'll leave. And he was shocked. And when I went to pick up my last paycheck, he said to me, "I really didn't expect that you were going to leave." And he said, "I'm really sorry I said that. You were actually my best receptionist I've ever had." And he's like, wow. I'm like, "Yeah, but I just don't think it's going to make sense for me to be here. I guess what was meant to happen, you know?" So I left. Alhamdulillah, I found a job right away in a law firm. And I told them, "I'm Muslim, so I pray. So I need a break for prayer." They said, "No problem. You can pray. Here, go use the." It was beautiful. I would take like forever to pray.
Reverse.
I was reading it on a paper.
Yeah. 15, 20 minutes. Mashallah.
Oh, the very least. And then for the wudu before, which everybody's looking at me in the bathroom, like, "What are you doing?
You're mashallah."
Anyways, it was funny. So alhamdulillah, Allah replaced that right away. Friends at that time, I had just started to meet Muslim people. So alhamdulillah, I had Muslim people around me, but not like a lot of friends yet. Like not like to the point that people that you spend a lot of time with, they're close friends. So they were just like acquaintances. Yeah. But because I was in a different city when I converted, I wasn't in Montreal. I was in Ottawa. I had moved out there to work there. But when I, you know, what I did notice is I think one of my friends that I was still friendly with, we had talked or met up and just, I don't know, we didn't really connect as much anymore and it was fine. Actually I had met new friends, like when, after I got married and then my son was born, I met my best friend, who's still I have a few best friends, but this is my best friend that I met since way back then. She's very special to me. She's more than a best friend. She's a sister, soul sister. Yeah. And I'm about it. I mean, and I met her, I met her through her sister. Our boys were both 1.5 at that time. So that was my first Muslim friend, I would say.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And my family, well, at first, I think that I had to do a lot of growing also in understanding Islam and how I shifted a lot and grew a lot from how I was at the beginning and how I would be like, "Oh, I'm just not doing that." Because I used to have like this fear of doing all those Catholicism and rituals. Yep. And I'm like, "I'm not getting into that."
In this, you didn't want to fall into any ritual things.
So I wasn't exactly soft around the edges even yet at that time. I was still, like I said, I was a big transition in my life at that time. So, but that being said, what I learned about in Islam quickly was the importance of your mother and the relationship with your mother. And I had seen that mine wasn't the way that I wanted it to be, or I knew it should be in the eyes of what I'm learning from, you know, the scope of Islam and how I'm supposed to be as a daughter. So it really impacted me there, and that shifted. So what that in turn did is it kind of softened the edges around what could have been maybe, you know, difficult for my parents or my mom and my brother, mainly my mom I'm focusing on here. But alhamdulillah, like as I went along, like when I first put on my hijab, okay, she kind of looked at me and was like, "Okay," but then she was not long after buying me a hijab for a gift.
Yeah, you know, it's just time takes time.
Yeah, but she we kind of like it was accepted. I think what the more I started to change and the more I started to better myself as a human being and in my relationship, I think I gave an example of Islam more than what I spoke about or what I wore. Yeah. And I think that shifted. Like today, my mom will say to me, "I'm so blessed. Both of my children are both children that turn to God all the time." Oh, and I can't ask for something more than that.
Wow. Yeah. Beautiful. SubhanAllah. I'm going to ask you a few questions that you can just give one or two sentence answers. So kind of like surefire question. Oh. I don't know. I can't remember what the word is. There's a word for it. Like it's like a quick round, you know,
laser question. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like a quick round of just some of the, I guess, milestones in your journey. Was there anything that was difficult to accept in your journey as a revert to Islam?
No.
Nothing was difficult to accept, mashallah. What was the most natural and easy thing to accept in your journey of learning Islam?
The one God.
What was one of the greatest hardships in your journey as a new Muslim?
I think forgiving myself before I realized that I was already forgiven from Allah.
Wow, that's heavy. And successes, what were one of the memories that you felt, alhamdulillah, like this was a good achievement or a good milestone in your journey in learning and practicing Islam?
Every hardship that I was given from that point, because I learned and it taught me more and brought me closer to remembering Allah in a deeper way than I thought I already knew.
The hardships were your successes, subhanAllah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
A funny moment. Did you have any funny moments?
Yes. The first one was when I first converted. I was like, you know, I didn't know the etiquettes of the mosque, and I was told there was a woman's door, and I really couldn't find it for the life of me. Like, nobody still can when they go to a mosque, unfortunately, well, most mosques.
But mysterious women's entry, you couldn't find it? No,
for this just freshly off the boat Muslim. So I'm walking through the mosque. I don't know if I even took my shoes off. And there's a man praying, and I'm just like, like trying to look around this whole mosque in circles and circles. He's alone there praying, trying to find the door to find the library where there was the, you know, I was told I can get some books. And walking back out till he finishes prayer, and he comes to me and he's like, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I'm a convert to Islam and I need books to learn about Islam." And he's like, "Oh, welcome, Mabruk." And he brought me in. But that is the funniest moment, because now that I look back at it, I was like, oh my God, this poor man was trying to pray and this random girl starts walking around the mosque. Like,
well, I'm wiping my brow because that story could have gone a lot of different ways had the uncle not have received you nicely. And I've heard stories of sisters being chased out of the mosque, you know, because she's accidentally gone into the men's area and things like that. So alhamdulillah, it had a good ending. And may Allah reward the uncle for being so warm and welcoming. It's very important. All right. So before we have our last question and our deep discussions card question, I did want to dive into, you mentioned fitra a few times and some of our listeners might not know what this is. Could you share with us what fitra means?
Fitra is like the disposition that you're born in before we're even created in this world, that Allah has put in our heart the inclination to tawheed, that there's only one God. And the knowing of this one God, and that you're created and you're in servitude that to God, and that's what you're created for. Your purpose, your knowing of this purpose is taught to you at a very, like, before your spirit was even put into this world, when it was created, and we also knew as human beings, like, what we were taking on as coming into this world, like taking on that trust that we wanted to take on as human beings in this world. And so it's something that's already instilled within your heart. And I think what happens is, like, we're all born. So, like, that was such a beautiful thing when I learned that we're all born Muslim. We're all born on the fitra. And this inclination that's natural to us is there. But then, you know, what you learn in your environment from your parents are going to shape how you understand and make sense of the world. And it could take you in a direction away from what makes sense. And what was interesting to me, and you pointed it out, and it's something I saw, is that the fitra, the inclination, is in you. You kind of, what is right and what's wrong is part of this capacity that Allah gives you in your heart to distinguish and learn about, and what is aligned with what's pleasing to Allah as well. And what, when I used to be, like, young, and I would ask these questions, especially around, like, who says God's a man, and all these things that were really cute in the moment from my mom, it was a natural part of me that was questioning something that I was being taught that didn't make sense. And I would say my rebellious side was trying to kind of rebel it, because it really didn't make sense. And that's kind of who I am as a person. When something doesn't make sense, I rebel it. When something yeah. makes sense, I embrace it. So it kind of made sense to me going forward. But basically, to answer your question, that natural inclination to worship Allah, and that Allah is the one who created you, and that you're a servant of Allah, and Allah is the one God, is the fitra. In a nutshell.
Amazing. Jazakallah khair. And another one, it's mentioned the word tazkiyah, that in your coaching journey, you help women to do tazkiyah. How would you define that for our listeners?
Well, I think that, you know, after having the first, you know, and aligning yourself with the purpose of why you're created and your goal of why you created, like in my story, just subhanAllah, I'm just making that connection today about that as I'm talking, is that we're created to, you know, live in this life for the hereafter in servitude of Allah. And when you can align with that, you know, everything else is kind of comes in clarity, because it has to align back with that. And tazkiyah is the purification of your soul and of your heart. So it's kind of like constantly being able to, for me, part of that is one, it's being able to recognize and have awareness about your own heart and where you're going with it, and turning your heart back fully to Allah and aligning it with Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and learning and following all of this and adhering it to it in what we do and what we choose and behind the choices we make, and again, to that ultimate goal. So purification of the heart is purifying it from other areas in life that we are attaching our heart to, or and have, you know, kind of carrying it around with us and living our lives for something other than Allah.
It's heavy, very deep. Do you do you learn this topic? Have you studied it through different books or scholars, or like, where did you manage to get this insight about the topic of tazkiyah?
I'm constantly in the journey of tazkiyah myself, and I think it is a constant journey that we're all in. And yes, of learning, I think there was a lot of awareness for myself where I started to make my own connections and understanding and growth, and reading many books. Of course, Ibn Qayyim, Purification of the Soul. There's also another book I've been reading right now, also Purification of the Soul, where it goes a little bit more in depth. There's many things to read. I've taken courses on it that I found was really helpful for me personally. And I think that it's something that I start to see more connection in everywhere, in every area of my life, like where, you know, we're not noticing where our hearts are attached to something other than Allah, and we're kind of living for the desire, and we're filling our heart with something other than Allah, and we're using our heart for something other than Allah. And I think that all of that is part of that journey that, like, as human beings, we go through. And part of the coaching that I do is to kind of look at that and notice it and see it and understand it and get more familiar with what that's like in your own human experience, and how you can recognize your own heart going in that direction, and what to do to purify it, and what to do to fill it with what's good and what's going to nourish it, which we know is Quran, and also to keep making dhikr and keep doing the adhkar, to keep ourselves always in remembrance of Allah and reliance on Allah on our path. So it sounds so simple, and it really is, but yet it's so challenging because of the inclinations we have and the ways we've been kind of looking at our lives in different areas where we're not aligned with our true purpose, and where we're kind of living for something other than that.
What do you feel is causing that stray and misalignment in women, our Muslim women, in current times, where they are moving away from that focus on their heart, or are unaware of the importance and relevance of checking in on their fitrah? Where do you think women are kind of being pulled off that path?
Well, I definitely see and believe it as an internal process. And where are we using our eyes? Where are we using our ears? Where are we using our tongues? What are we putting our energy into? And a lot of these things, this day and age, as we know, is in social media, away from the remembrance of Allah, even in the simplest thing as eating, like even eating and not remembering Allah for what your purpose of your eating is for. And, you know, even the bismillah is just like an action rather than from the heart. Even our worship, which is our ultimate goal, is to worship Allah, is more of an action than from the heart. So not even being in the moment now with things, but putting the heart into desires from what we're seeing outside in this world and attaching it to that. And that could be, and it's always going to be around what I've noticed. It's always going to be around the areas where it's the shaitan tries to deceive us to look for all the things that's, you know, going to increase us in arrogance or in pride and fame and you know, jealousy or envy, or you know, deceiving us in seeing our, you know, what looks to be bad as something good, and for us, and it, we turn it into something, oh, this is really good for me, but we don't even recognize our goal behind that, why we're doing it, and the intentions towards that action, and we're just doing it thinking it's good, and it's kind of been deceived to us in the way it's been waswas, and the way we're going with that waswas in that direction. So yeah. I think there's a lot of avenues wherever you're using your ears, your eyes, and your tongue, and your limbs. These are the avenues, inwards and outwards. And whatever you have in the heart is what you're going to use your tongue for. It's where you're going to put your eyes towards. It's where you're going to use your ears for, and vice versa. And you're going to want to keep bringing that back in the heart. And the thing about that is, if, you know, I remember reading in one of the books that I was reading, where there was this beautiful saying that kind of reminded me of remembrance of it. Like if you want to know where the shaitan is going to come into a heart, he doesn't come into a heart that's empty. He would never, no one's going to steal a house that there's nothing in it. So he's going into the hearts to bother them, that there's something there to bother them with.
Oof.
You've got to recognize what's there.
Yeah. That gave me chills down my spine. SubhanAllah. That's really heavy. I guess, as you were speaking, it reminded me of just this concept of this overindulgence and the use of the senses in the material and physical dunya and world is what distracts and takes away from our spiritual existence and our spiritual growth and our spiritual awareness when we indulge too much in the physical and material of the dunya through what we watch and listen to and what we say and what we touch and where we go. All of these types of indulgences in the physical, in the sensual aspects of the dunya are what detract from that spiritual journey and that connection to fitra and the journey of the heart and the purification of the heart. So thank you for expanding on that. And we'll just do a quick deep discussions card before we wrap it up. And I really want to appreciate and thanks to Zainab for your time. So this is the deep discussions card set for anyone who doesn't have it yet. And that the cards are the basis for which this podcast was built upon. And it's a set consisting of 42 cards. And what they do is they facilitate having deeper discussions with your family, friends, colleagues, loved ones, community groups. And they're awesome as icebreakers and just general conversation cards. So Zainab, you ready for your question?
Yes.
All right. All right. The question or the sentence to complete is, caring for others means to, caring for others means to, what?
This is a good question. I always think too much on it, but caring for others means to care for them for the sake of Allah and how you would want them to care for you.
Beautiful. So before I ask you about how we can contact you and reach you, I just want to remind our listeners not to forget to check out our past episodes of the Deep Discussions podcast on all major podcast platforms. You can also watch our IG lives on Instagram. Be sure to subscribe so you can find out when the next episode is released, inshallah. We're also on Facebook as well, or our Instagram handle is at Deep Discussions Podcast, or you can stay connected to Developing Diamonds and myself, Kalisha Bennett, on different social platforms. So Sister Zainab, what's next for you? What's happening for you, and how can our listeners reach you?
Alhamdulillah, I take it a day at a time, and what's next for me is to continue on my journey, and I would love to meet any of you who could, you know, join up with me on Instagram at Coach Zainab, and, you know, feel free to DM me and message me and share with me your thoughts, a little bit about you, connect with me. I'm very social, so I love to get to know people. My journey is also continuing on at the 3D Coaching Academy. So anybody wants to know more about coaching, come and check us out there. And, I'd be pleased to let you know a little bit more about what we do there as well.
Jazakallah khairan. So I really wanted to thank you, Sister Zainab, for giving us your time and your wisdoms and for really going deep in what you shared with us about some of these really important concepts. You know, we looked at, you know, your journey of, you know, finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his oneness and calling out to him, the dua that you made at different times of your life, the Quran tape that you listened to that impact you, your modesty journey and having to stand up for yourself with what you wanted and needed in your workplaces. We learned about the concept of fitra, the concept of tazkiyah. We learned about your bakery dream, you know, your amazing almost 19 year journey as a Muslimah, and no doubt, you know, you were a Muslimah since birth, alhamdulillah, as we all are born in the state of Islam. I just wanted to thank you for all that you do for others and the way that you show up in the world. And alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for guiding my path to your path and for me being able to benefit from your energy and your wisdom and the state and the character and conduct that you have had in the time that I have known you. No doubt many of our listeners will be able to further connect with you and benefit from all you have to offer as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the provision of taqwa. May he forgive your sins and grant you good wherever you go. Thank you so much, Sister Zainab.
Barakatuh.
Wa iyyakum, you're most welcome. The Deep Discussions podcast is powered by Developing Diamonds, and be sure to keep up with us and stay in touch, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Sister Zainab. We thank you for being with us, and for everyone else. Until next time, don't forget to unplug and reconnect by having a deep discussion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.